Well, good evening. Merry Christmas and welcome. We are thrilled to have you here with us this evening as we gather together to celebrate Christmas at this Christmas Eve service. When we gather at moments like this, it is a good reminder of what it means to be family. And I know many of you hearing the buzz, and I saw several darting to hug brothers and sisters and folks who had just come in from far away, and that's exciting and thrilling to see. And so part of this whole thing of following this baby Jesus, right, in Christianity, is being able to share joys together in the family, but also know that there are many of you who are here very alone tonight. And that's the tension that we face, right? Those who are overjoyed with the blessing of family and loved ones and all of these great things. You've just had a great meal, or you're getting ready to go to a great meal, or you're having all of these blessings. And at the same time, to be united in family with those who are struggling and lonely and weeping and grieving. And that's actually what we find at Christmas. In the Gospels, we find shepherds out at night caring for their flock, dealing with all of the hard things of work late at night. And all of a sudden, the sky bursts open with angels singing. We have the lowest of the low. Shepherds were not even allowed to testify in court because they were such characters. And yet at the same time, we find magi, royals from the east, who come with gifts of wonder to see the newborn king. All of this in the family of God. And so let me just welcome you. I'm new here. My name's Doug Warren, and I'm the new pastor, the 23rd pastor of First Congregational Church Woodstock. And so my family and I are still getting settled in. And so you may be new here also, or you may have been coming since you were this high and had lots of Christmases here. So again, wherever you're coming from, welcome. We're thrilled to have you here, and we encourage you to not just go through the motions, to not just listen to the music, but lean in. Listen to the lyrics as we sing them. Listen to the scriptures that are read. Listen to these things and talk to the Lord who has given us all of these blessings. Enjoy this Christmas Eve together. Welcome.
Merry Christmas, everyone. If you turn in your bulletins for the call to worship, we will do this responsibly. Tonight we remember that the whole world lay in deep darkness for the millennia. People walked in darkness without hope, except for the promise given by the Maker of Light. God is faithful to keep all of His promises. He has sent us His light.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world."
Fully God and fully man, Jesus came to accomplish what no one else could do for us. We come now to worship God together.
Lord Jesus, we do praise you, and we invite you here now. You don't need our invitation. You own all that there is. You are everywhere, all at once. And so by inviting you here, we are simply saying that we want you here. We want your presence. We want to know you. We want to rejoice together with you and to give you all praise. And so we do pray now for you to be present as you promised to be. Holy Spirit, that you would now be among us and sing through us. Praise the Son through us, we pray. For it's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.
The prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7.
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor,
Mighty God,
Eternal Father,
Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 208, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit.
Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Let's stand again for hymn number 194, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, for many of us, the song lyrics that we're singing are very familiar. And yet, for some of us, those are things that we are odd to us or we're not quite sure of. And so in your order of worship this evening, there's a little insert that says Merry Christmas on it. And so if you'd find that insert, a couple of things I just want to make you aware of. One is that it gives you a little bit of some idea of what I'm going to be talking about in just a few minutes, but also a way to follow along with that. But also, when you open that up, you'll find kind of cliff notes on Christmas. So perhaps you're here this evening and Christmas is all new to you. You didn't grow up with Christmas celebrations. And so that's just, we don't want you to be on the outside looking in, but we want to welcome you in that you might understand what these things are that we're singing about. And so let me just encourage you to look at that if that would be of help. Another thing that is something that we don't want to take you by surprise on, but it has been the practice of this church for, I was consulting, we know it goes back at least 20 years, it's probably far more than that. In a congregation that's 237 years, there are some things that have been going on for a very long time. So one of those is every Christmas Eve, the church takes a special sacrificial offering. And if you're here this evening and you don't normally come, take a sigh of relief. It's okay. That's not for you. Okay. This is for those who are regulars here or members here. We're not expecting you to give anything. This is simply a way of us who are regulars here of giving to the Lord's work. And so I just wanted to mention what that's all about. So the offering this evening is a special sacrificial offering that's going to two missions groups that this church has the privilege of supporting. They're a mission agency in India where they've been planting churches and not only planting new churches but also resourcing those churches to care for the people in their communities. So doing things like medical care and dental care and hygiene and teaching these folks. And it's not just that they've planted one or two churches, they've planted 120 churches in five different areas in India. And so this is a way for us to participate together with them. And again, God doesn't need your money, okay? That's not the idea of sacrifice. Rather, this is an opportunity that we have to say, God has so blessed us that we want to give to what He's doing around the world. So this first part of the offering, someone help me, it's 100 and... I'm sorry. $12,500. The first $12,500 that's going towards providing a vehicle there in India. And then the anything above that and beyond that, and this congregation has been so generous in the past, that our second part of the offering is going towards Teen Challenge. That's a group that helps folks that are struggling with chemical dependencies. And they're doing things up in Rutland, but they're also starting a women's home that's particularly for women who have been abused and need a safe place in order to get safe and dry and clean. And so that's what tonight's offering is going to go towards. And it's a sacrificial offering because we're not just saying, hey, throw in 10 bucks that you're not going to miss, right? But the idea, have you ever read O. Henry's short story on the gift of the Magi? Right, the idea of the husband and wife who both want to give something, but they don't have any extra money. And so they give what is most dear to them. That's the idea of sacrifice. That what we're celebrating with Christmas is that God the Father gave His only begotten Son. It cost Him. And so we would just encourage those who are members here or regular attenders to participate in this offering this evening as a way of sacrificing to give back because of how Christ has given to us. We're going to read another scripture. Thank you.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel of the Lord said to them,
"Do not be afraid, for I bring you great good news of a great joy which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he is well pleased."
And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another,
"Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us."
And they came in haste, and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they had made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had just seen and heard, just as had been told them.
Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 203.
John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and to those who were his own, he did not receive them. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
This time, the ushers will begin in the back and come forward in receiving the special sacrificial offering. Thank you. Pray for this offering. Lord God, thank you for your incredible gifts. You have given us the light of the world. We ask that you would help us to use the resources that you give to us to shed that light here at home and to all the ends of the earth. We praise you and give you thanks, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together now as we sing hymn number 224, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Thank you. May be seated. And rarely has such a congregation sung so white in all of the history of Christmas Eves. My college roommate Daryl, who was is a great brother, African American brother, and when we'd sing things like that at church, he would just look at me like, "Man, what is wrong with you people?" So I'll have to have Daryl see that online. He will laugh and laugh and laugh. You do know that's a spiritual, right? Man, all right. Well, again, welcome. We're thrilled to have you here as we celebrate the birth of God. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. That God, Emmanuel, God with us, that he would be born among men and women and share our humanity. It's breathtaking stuff. And when we realize that he didn't just come like on a little vacation, right? It wasn't like, you know, hey, heaven's a little boring, I'm going to come and visit, you know, Earth. I created it all those eons ago, now let's see how they're doing. No, he came on a mission specifically to rescue people like you and me who had gone far away from our Father, to bring us back and not only forgive us, but bring us into the family, to adopt us into God's family. And what we get with Christmas Eve is a little bit like the backstory, right? Some of you have seen This Is Us, right? That tearjerker show. You know, you got to have a whole case of Kleenex to watch that thing. And you see the family picture, right? Here's mom and dad and the three triplets. What do you notice about those triplets? Right? White brother and sister, and an African American brother. So
And you look, and the mom and dad both, okay, so what's the backstory? How did that, you know, there's got to be a backstory, right? You know, just looking at the picture. And so one of the things that happens through Christmas is that we get some of the backstory of how we ended up in God's family. Because when you consider God and then you look at us, you go, okay, there's got to be some backstory here. Because these folks don't belong in God's family. What's the deal? What is it that's going on? And so I want us to see, for just a moment, looking at this birth of Jesus Christ as it's pronounced to be good news. Right? That the angels pronounce there is this child who's born, and this is good news of great tidings. So what's the backstory to that good news? So I want us to look at this in two different aspects. First, and you'll see on your notes here, the why. Why is it good news? Why is a baby being born in a manger? That doesn't sound like good news. That sounds like a train wreck for hygiene. That sounds like a very unsafe, unsanitary kind of thing. Why is a baby being born there in this place in Bethlehem? Why is that good news? And then second, what are we supposed to do with good news? Right? If I were to tell you that tomorrow morning the stock market was going to open and this particular stock was going to go from pennies to thousands of dollars per share, and you knew absolutely that I knew what I was talking about, right? You would, one, think that was good news that you found out about it, and you'd want to do something about it, right? That you don't just go, wow, that's amazing. Kind of interesting. Okay, go home and see what's on the late show, right? No, you'd probably want to do something about good news that could affect you in that way. So what about this good news? What are we supposed to do with it? So the first thing, why? Why is it good news? The angels come and say that it was good news of great joy. That's the language that they use in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10. Good news, that is where we get the term gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is actually the good news about Jesus. And that gospel was a term that they borrowed from the day in terms of the Roman world that they lived in the writing of the New Testament, that the gospel or good news was when there would be a proclamation and there would be a herald who would come from the king, right? Caesar has declared that there's a new holiday. And so, cool, you don't have to work on this holiday. You get to go to the circus, or you get to go to see the contestants going on in the Colosseum. You get to do some fun stuff because it's a holiday, right? And so they would pronounce, this is what Caesar said, or maybe it wasn't a holiday, it was some other good news. It was something that Caesar the king was doing for his subjects. And so the royal pronouncement would be declared, and this was good news. And so they used that language that everybody in Jesus' day would understand and know. And so the angels say that this is good news of great joy. What is it that's happening? It's that Jesus has been born. And the angels declare that, and the shepherds go to see that, because it's not just a baby who is being born, but the Messiah, the King of Kings, has come. And that's good news, because what that King has come to do. And all through the Hebrew Scriptures, what we refer to as the Old Testament portion of the Bible, are revelations from God through prophets that are describing and telling us that, one, we need the King to come, and that indeed the King is going to come, that God is going to come and deliver us from the bondage that we're in. And like many of us, the people there would look around and go, What bondage? What are you talking about? In fact, Jesus got that exact same response later on in the gospel when he's talking to the Israelites that he's there living amongst, and that he was one himself. He's talking to them about being released from bondage, and they say, we're children of Abraham. We're not slaves. We're not under any bondage. What are you talking about? And Jesus said, you are enslaved. You're enslaved to sin and death. And see, we need to understand that this good news of the king coming, we only understand that to be good news if we understand the bad news that we're starting with. The bad news is that we need a Savior to begin with. You see, the proclamation, the declaration, hey, the Savior, the King of Kings has come. Well, okay, fine, but what has that got to do with me? But if I'm outside my house and it's on fire and the fire truck, the firemen have arrived, that's good news because I know I need the firemen. But if I'm just walking down the street and the fire engine goes by, it's not good news. It's kind of annoying. What's, you know, all the blaring, the sirens, what's going on? I might be interested, I might be curious, where are they going, what's going on? But it's not good news. And so the angels come and declare this is good news. This is something for them to rejoice in. They say it's good news of great joy that will be for the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ is not just Jesus' last name. It's a title. It's the understanding of him as the Messiah, the one who was prophesied to come. That all of those from Abraham on who are calling upon the name of the Lord, who are worshiping Yahweh, were waiting for this promised one, this Messiah, who would come and deliver them out of sin and death. You know, I'm not dying, I'm fine, right? Why do I need God? Well, we understand, we know that every one of us is dying. Now, we don't like to face that reality. We spend a whole lot of time and energy and all kinds of things avoiding that reality, right? But every one of us will die. And so the good news of Christ, the Messiah coming, is that he's come to deliver us from death. That is what this whole thing of Christmas is all about, that even though we might die in Christ because of what he's done, we might be able to live. He is the one come to save his people from their sins. That's the way that the Gospel of Matthew talks about it in chapter 1, verse 21. That this Christ, this Savior, has come for this reason. He says about Mary, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. It's only good news if we understand the bad news that we need a Savior. But if we recognize that, then it's incredibly great news that we don't just have to guess who might come and save us or wonder when he might come, but he has actually come. That's the big deal of what Christmas is all about, that this baby is no other baby, but he is the promised Messiah who has come to deliver us, and that we're lost without him. Okay, so if that's the good news, what are we supposed to do with that? Well, it's like any other good news. It calls upon us to respond. When you find out that something's good, that you've learned something, it's in your court. What are you going to do with that? Like what I was talking about in terms of the stock market, right? Do I believe that? If so, what do I do? Do I make a call? Do I get online for E-Trade? What is it that I do? And that doing nothing is in fact deciding. Right? It's not just that if I make the call or if I go online, but if I choose to ignore that, I'm making a choice. And so this good news calls upon us to respond, to do something with this good news. If the King of Kings, if the Savior who has come to deliver his people from their sins has actually come, then what do I do with that? And here's what we find throughout the Scripture, is that we're to not only respond, but we're to respond with what the Scripture calls faith and repentance. These are two things that we find all throughout the Scripture. Faith, we hear a lot about that, right? The faith of trusting in Christ. But it's not just a kind of ooey-gooey kind of feeling that I trust or I believe, but faith is putting your trust in to Jesus, saying that he's the one who has come to save us, and so I'm going to believe him. I'm going to trust him. It's not just, I believe Jesus exists. Well, Satan believes that Jesus exists. That's not what this is calling us to. But rather to believe in him, to trust him, to do what he says he's come to do. If he is the Savior, will you trust him to save you? Not just somebody else. I always love this. As a pastor, I try to keep an eye on folks and how you're responding to things. And it's always interesting to see every once in a while someone will say, yeah. And you can almost see the cloud bubble above their head, right? And I know that what's in that cloud bubble, because then I hear people say similar things afterwards. And they'll say things like, well, that's very interesting. That's something that I think Frank really ought to hear. You know, Paula really could use to hear that. She really ought to, maybe I'll get her to click on this website for the church and listen to this so she can hear what this guy just said. She really needs to do something about that. Okay, if that's what you're thinking, stop. This isn't for someone else to hear. God brought you here. You say, no, he didn't. My mother brought me here. My girlfriend brought me here. I came because they promised afterwards we were going to have lasagna, and that's why I'm here. But you see, God knows all of those things. And he supernaturally worked so that you would be here this evening hearing about this good news, that Christ, the Savior, has been born, not just to be born, but to come and deliver us from our sin and the death that always comes from sin. So what are we supposed to do? Faith, trust him as our Savior, and repentance. What is that? Repentance means to turn from what I am doing, to stop that, and instead do what I'm supposed to do. All throughout the Scripture, we see Jesus calling people to repentance, to turn from disobedience by faith in Christ to obedience. That is not what saves us. We turn in faith because Christ saves us, and then we obey him because we want to follow him. It's us putting our faith in him. So, for instance, if I were to tell you these pews are 237 years old, some of you just got a little nervous, right? I thought it was stable. It's been holding us up so far, but, right? So, when you came in, you didn't even think about it, but you exercised faith, and you turned from standing to sitting. You changed your posture. And by sitting on these pews, you exercised faith that that pew would hold you up. Now, you didn't probably think about it very much, if at all. But that's what faith and repentance look like. I'm trusting in myself, in something else to save me. I'm trusting that, heck, I hope it all works out okay. But I'm trusting in something, and I turn from trusting in that thing to trusting that Jesus really is who he claimed to be, and that he can actually save me. And so I start doing what he's told me to do, not to earn brownie points with him, but because I actually believe that he is my Savior and is worth following. Respond with faith and repentance. And then we are called to do that in community. One of the things that you'll find out very quickly, if you haven't already, is that trusting Christ and following him is not a solo adventure. It's not something that we're meant to do on our own. That we need one another as community. That's why Christ doesn't just forgive us, he adopts us into his family. He gives us brothers and sisters in the church with whom we can share this walk of faith and repentance. So here's the huge question. What about you? You say, oh, Pastor, I've been doing that for decades. Okay. Are you doing that now? Are you trusting in Christ and turning from your sin and doing that in community? Maybe you've never done that. And tonight might be the time for you to do that. If you'd like to know more about what that means, I'll be here after the service. Some of the elders will be here as well. We'd love to talk with you more about what that means. Come back next Sunday. Come and participate in this community of faith. We're messed up. We're broken. We need a Savior. Bad. And if you do, then this would be a great place for you to grow and walk in Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You and praise You for Your goodness and grace to us, that You indeed are the King of kings and Lord of lords, that You came and were born in Bethlehem just as You promised You would be, to fulfill all of the Scriptures and all of the promises about You. And so we praise You and give You thanks, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 201. a note that's also in the order of worship. Parents, please do watch little children. We ourselves have had one go up in flame before. Things like this. Thank you, Libby. Appreciate that. Not mentioning any names. And when you light the candle, if your candle is already lit, if you'd hold yours upright and allow the one who's being lit to be the one turning, you'll get a lot less wax on you and others. Thank you. We're going to remain seated as we sing hymn number 210.
Thank you.
In just a moment, I'm going to give the benediction, which is simply a way of blessing God's people. After that, if you want to remain seated silently and just consider these things, you're welcome to do so. And when you're ready, just extinguish your candle, and then you can quietly leave, allowing the rest who are still considering these things to be able to continue to do so quietly. Hear now God's good word to us. And now to him. Harder to do this, older, with little light. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.